our text. Our text is John 14. Where did I go? 15 to 21, right? Yeah. 15 to 21. I don't know if I can piggyback on the Old Testament lesson to make this connected to the New Testament in John 14 particularly, because this text is on the Holy Spirit. Having heard Dr. Seleska's side comments, I think there are some leads where we can go. I'm piggybacking on the Shechem comment and the Kabod Yahweh. And Carl, in spite of what you said, what did I take out from Seleska? Verse 14 of Psalm 68 has this wings of dove reference, and there is this talk about green gold. I don't know why I can do it, but the wings of dove is perhaps a way for us to lead to the Holy Spirit, which is chapter 16. I don't know if it's metaphor, simile, or literally a leap of faith, but there is something going on. But the Shechem reference and the Kabod Yahweh definitely lead those ideas into the presence of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So we do have solid ground to build that case. Okay, last Sunday's, that means last Wednesday's, reading was from, for us here, for the lectionary group here at the seminary, was John 14, 1 through 14. And now we go to 15 through 21 of the same chapter. John 14, if you recall, I'm just reading the first verse and I'm going to skip quickly to verse 15 and following. John 14, 1 said, Me terasesto himon hekardia, pistuete en to theon ka eis eme pistuete. Do not let your hearts be troubled, agitated, and terrorized, if you don't mind. Yeah. Troubled is the standard translation. Believe in me, you keep on believing in God and in me. That's the text. So this is, in a sense, the beginning of Jesus' parting discourse. I am jumping a few hoops here quickly. So the time has come for him to depart. We know this will lead to the crucifixion, but finally his ascension into heaven. So let not your hearts be troubled. That's the message that's given. And thereafter, he will speak particularly about the Holy Spirit. There is a talk with Thomas about, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way, etc. But he, in verse 10 again, 10 and 11, talks about faith, having faith in God, particularly in Jesus Christ, etc. And in verse 15 we go, talks particularly about the Holy Spirit. And students of John's Gospel, it will help us recall that in John 14, 15, 14, John chapter 14 and verses 24, 25, 26, and you can do this in 15, chapter 15, 24, 25, 26, and 16, 24, 25, 26, you kind of get the picture of the Holy Spirit, what he does. Simply put, he not only teaches us, but he also reminds us of the teachings that the Lord had given. So, in that context, reading particularly from verse 15 of John 14, Ean agapete me ta entolas tas emas tereseste. The protasis of verse 15, Ean agapate me, if you love me, kind of governs the directives that follow in 15 and 16 and to some extent part of verse 17. So this is the fundamental thing. If you love me, if you keep on loving me, a state of affairs with relationship to Jesus Christ, tas entolas ta hemas tereseste, you will in the future, with present implications, keep my commandments, pretty much akuo or hypakuo. That's what's implied in this teraseta word. You keep my commandments. This is Deuteronomy 6 reflection, I believe. Yeah, the commandments you keep. I know I'm jumping. In chapter 16, Jesus talks about remaining in him. So as you keep the commandments, what you do is you demonstrate that you remain in the Lord. In verse 16, this is the departure tone here. Kago, kai and ego. Eroteso, erotao is the present tense. This is eroteso is future with a signal there. I will, tan patera accusatory case, I will ask, I will plead, I will request, I will ask. The father, my father in this case, kai alon parakleton, dose himin, another future, doso, didomi doso. He will give you alon parakleton, note the alon parakleton, parakletos, the word we know, comforter, legal counsel, etc. Another comforter, implied in this word, I believe, is the tone that Jesus is already a comforter. I have one way to go. Where is my note there? I think it is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 or 2. There is that reference to Jesus Christ as the Parakletos. And this is the only other reference where the same word is used to refer to Jesus Christ. So the another comforter, along Parakleton, is Trinitarian in this case. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in this. He is going, but he's not gone. He's still with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, which we shall see. Hina, dose himin, hina met himon eiston iona, in order that he might remain with you unto the ages of the ages. La olam ha olam. Yeah, into the eternity. That's the promise that is given. So he's going, but he's not gone yet. Verse 17, ta pneumates aletheias, the spirit, the true one, the spirit of truth as we translate, ha ha cosmos uk dunatai labain, lambano lem samai elabain, elaben, this is labain infinitive, the world, the spirit, the true one, which demonstrative, ha ha cosmos uk dunatai labain, the world is unable to, incapable of receiving, hati u teoroi auto udeke ginaskai, the world neither does see teorewo him nor ude ginaskai or know him. In John, as we know, ginosko and horavo are very, very significant. They are related to cognitively related to pistoio. Seeing is believing, accepting, acknowledging. And ginosko is a big word. Shall we go the Hebrew way and say this is experiencing? Yeah, so this is what's happening. And the world is unable to. That's the thesis of verse 17. Humans, on the other hand, you, ginoskete auto, you do know him because hati par human mene kai en human estai. And he remains with you, meno, a word that comes in 16, referring to Jesus remaining in the with the people as well as the people remaining with him, with the analogy of the wine and the branches. Verse 18, uk afeso humas orphano, simple translation, afiemi is to leave, afeso is the future. I will not, with present implications, I will not leave you, simply put, orphans. Erkamai proshimas, because I am coming to you. He is coming to you. Verse 18 does have an eschatological tone to it. He is coming. The word mikros is used elsewhere. He is gone for a little while, but he will return. So the connectivity of the second person of the Trinity is always with the church. Verse 19, AT, still mikron kai ha cosmos me ukati teirai. A little while still, and the world no longer sees me. So what's going on here? I cannot by my own reason or strength come to my Lord. And the Holy Spirit causes this to happen. That he came to his own, John 1:14, 10 and following, he came to his own received him not. So there is opposition from the world, and in verse 19 it says, the world will not see him, but you look at me, you see me. Hati ego zo kai hume zesete, because I live, you shall zesete, you shall live also. Definitely the eschatology is brought to the present. Jesus now looking at this text in the context of the resurrection, this is our season now leading the Pentecost, because he lives, we shall live also. Now the Old Testament tone is coming back, I believe, in this case, verse 20. In Ekaine te hemra, on that day, the day of the Lord, in its full manifestation, in its glory, on that day, gnosaste, you shall know, himes, you yourself shall know, hati, that ego ento patri mu kai himes en emoi kago en human. Simple, but sophisticated, complicated, and difficult, therefore, to translate, right? Yeah, on that day you will know. So our vision is now partial, although it is complete, because he is, according to John 1:14, he is the full manifestation of God the Father, the one who sent him to this world. Now he is departing. And what's happening here? Then you will know that I am, hati ego ento patrimu, I am in my Father. How do we take this? In my Father, with my Father, under my Father. Ka humes en emoi, kago en human. Likewise, I am in you as you are in me. So there's a reciprocity here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit united into one, but his presence, God's own presence, is with us as much as the Lord remains with us. Remember, the talk is still about the Holy Spirit, but in verse 20, Christ is actually brought into the picture as remaining with us. Verse 21, Ha ekonta entelasmu, the one who has my commandments, the one having my commandments. Earlier, where was it? Early on, we had the tereo word, keeping the commandment. He who loves me, in verse 15 already, shall keep my commandments. Now what happens in verse 21, it's possession, right? The one having the commandments of mine, kai teron autas, and the keeping one of them, ekainos, he it is, ha agapon me, he it is the one who loves me. So this is how we demonstrate that you and I love the Lord, by keeping, literally possessing the commands. This is actually, the commandments are taking control of your conscience. It just does automatically. I just have this analogy. I think that works. I drive my 9 miles from home to get to this place, and I started doing this 5 years ago since he moved out of this place, and I don't know where I stopped, or I don't know where I, what direction I took. The car automatically takes me to this place. The moment I leave 7 o'clock from the house, my destination is Concordia Seminary. I think that's how this having the commandment ought to work in our lives. It comes automatically. Call it 30s of the law, or the transformation that the Holy Spirit causes in our lives. And it is still about love, the second half of that verse. Hade agapon me agape te sasta hypo tu patros mu. I see Trinity all over the place. The one loving me shall be loved by the Father of mine. So this is pretty reciprocal, I said. It's a community life. It is a life that there is give and take in it. Kago, kai, ago, and I, excuse me, shall love him, referring to the ha agapon, or the first part of the sentence, and I shall live him, and emphaino auto hematon, and auto in this case is dative, singular, and to him and for him. Emphaino is I shall demonstrate, make visible, fully manifest to him. So there is communion. Emauton is reflective, so it's very touching. So he will manifest himself to the one who loves him. So what is there for us to do this homiletically? Everything here is homiletical because it is down-to-earth, practical. People continue to say that the best commentary on John is yet to be written. We do not know who will write it. Will it be the best? But the point of this text is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us even as the Lord has departed into heaven. On a side note, because this is still the Parakletos, and the word comes up in 16:7. Excuse me. In 16:7, I'm going up there in order that I may send ha Parakletos uk elusetai pros himas ifa. Excuse me. Eande pro porioso penso auton pros himas. If I go, I will send him to you. Reference to Parakletos. A couple of weeks ago, some 50 of us, Missouri Synod Lutheran members, went to the mosque in West County for a tour, a guided tour. And the man who was guiding us through this tour, Muslim as he is, was conversant in our Bible. He was quoting back and forth the New Testament, including John 16:7. He agrees that we claim Jesus as the Son of God, and they don't. But it's at John 16:7 where Jesus says he goes up to heaven and he will send the Comforter. This is reference to Muhammad. So,
no kidding.
So, bear that in mind, as you know. And he was quoting precisely this. So I thought I'll throw this at us to recall. So, 50 days hence, the Spirit had come. What is it, 630 years hence, Muhammad had come. Take your pick. And in John 14, the text we read, Jesus promised he will never leave us orphan. Not for 630 years, for sure. 50 days is plenty. So, the Holy Spirit causes us to believe. The Holy Spirit sustains us. The Holy Spirit keeps us in the hope that we shall see the Lord, not Muhammad, as he is when he comes in his glory. Thank you.
Muhammad was not coming. Muhammad was there before he came. That does not sound to me.